Today on Real Life Radio.
When you open up his Bible, he's going to give you truth, and that truth is going to be speaking to you about what God thinks about you and the plans that God has for your life.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in his special message for Resurrection Sunday called Returning. It's perhaps the most talked about subject in all of religion. What happens to a human soul after the time of death? Well, outside the cross of Jesus Christ, there's no hope of heaven in this world. The cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's at the very core of the gospel. So today on this very special resurrection message, Pastor Jack tells us that even in the midst of our troubles, there really is salvation in Christ. And now in his special message called Returning, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Everything this life that you and I are living in is rooted in statements and in news feeds and in posts and headlines. 2,000 years ago, you got to wonder what and how things would have been reported back then. Regarding this morning in history, what would it have been? And I had some thoughts. I wrote them down. Newsmax, for example, might have reported, skeptics proven wrong. Jesus Christ defies death. Stone rolls away, right? And then I thought about what Fox News might have said. Maybe, I hope they would have said, eternal life is now possible. Jesus conquers death in hell. That's all true. And then I wondered what CNN would have said. CNN would have reported 2,000 years ago, we don't know what happened. We have no information about what happened. But what we know is that it absolutely did not happen. We don't know much, but we know this, it didn't happen. The news was being reported on this day in history. And it's all important because the dynamics, you gotta remember everybody, if you don't know, the disciples last saw Jesus being taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. And from that moment on, all their hopes and all their dreams and all their aspirations and all of their confidence had evaporated. If you want to think today that this Christian thing was some grand conspiracy by a bunch of really brilliant people that got together and pulled off a whopper, then listen, you're happily mistaken, because the people that were following Jesus, they were weak and they were frail. And when the cross event happened on that day, they were devastated. And so this morning came upon history and came upon them as a great shock. And yet that shouldn't have been the case. The Bible had written down in advance all that was needed. Some of those things we'll touch on this morning. But I pick up this particular account in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The Bible tells us, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, that is, the angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the disciples and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And listen, the great apostles, the great men of faith. When these women reported this, verse 11 says, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Wow. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection morning. The Bible gives us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you take this, and look, every year TV puts up their shows and puts up their ridiculous representations of Jesus in Easter and what really happened. You don't have to guess about what really happened. We have eyewitness accounts about what happened. If we just read it, we can know exactly what happened. But God gave us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four men looking from four different angles from their perspective, what in the world happened 21 centuries ago. Matthew tells you certain aspects. Mark tells you now from a different angle. Luke speaks from his point and John from his. And yet all of them come into perfect harmony, just like if you would take an overlay, vellum, of instruction or maybe schematics. And the more vellum or schematic you lay upon the other, the more technical and detailed that information becomes. We all understand that, right? You can look at Matthew and you get a lot of detail. But when you look at all four of them, you get exact detail. And it's quite remarkable. It's the Gospels in stereo, if you want to put it that way. It's the gospel account in a quadraphonic presentation that this is what happened on this day in history. Christ is risen from the dead. I love the fact that you're here right now, I hope and I trust and I pray, because either A, you already know Jesus, or you've come here today because you want to know Jesus, and so you should. Would we all agree that the world's gone nuts?
Yes.
And listen, what's coming? You can only guess. But think about where you were this time last year and all the things that have transpired in 1 year, just in 12 months' time, the transformation that has come upon the world. And do you know what has not suffered? What has not suffered is the church. The church of Jesus Christ in the earth. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Jack, churches have been closed all over the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his church. Not every church is his church. Think about it.
Amen.
Well, I thought if I go to a church, I'm going to where God is. Not necessarily. Listen, you want to go to a church where God is? This is the prerequisite right here. This book's got to be open. This book's got to be studied. This is the book of life. Listen, that's why we're here. This is the book. This is the foundation. Not happy thoughts and not principles and not ideas, but God's word. And the Bible tells us that God's word will never fail us, God's promises will never evaporate, and God will fulfill every prophecy of his word. All this week since Palm Sunday, we've had our theme called returning. And that is the fact that God is calling you to return to him. And maybe that's you today. You need to be listening to this message. It's certainly true for those of us who are following Christ to return and return again, to keep coming to him every day. And as we see the nearness and the possibility of Christ's soon return, that we get ready to meet him and remember that every day we return to him in dependence. And on top of the fact, the Bible does say that Christ is returning. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. So listen, I want to give you these 15 things, but I want to preface it by what God is doing in this world right now and what God has always done. Is that God gives truth. Jesus said he is the truth. And isn't it interesting that truth today, truth, that which is confirmed, that which is true, truth, is it not dividing people?
Yes.
All around the world, truth about vaccines, truth about government, truth about borders, truth about family, truth about gender. All of the divisions now are taking place, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you know that the Bible anticipated that and talked about that happening? You've got that truth. And then you've got the fact that regarding truth, Jesus said the gospel of the cross, the gospel of his life would cause division. And that's true. Truth causes division, everybody. That's the nature of truth. And I want you to take a deep breath and take that in and understand. You and I are living in a day when truth is under attack. But truth cannot lose. It's a divine attribute. And we all need to wake up to that because the things I'm going to be giving you are truth. And that's where we begin. Jesus Christ came proclaiming truth. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Free, liberated, set free. When you have the truth that sets you free, you are no longer bound by the opinions of people. When somebody says something about you, it no longer matters because you know what Christ says about you. And when God looks at you, you turn to him and you say, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to know you." Maybe today you're saying, "Jesus, I'm just now meeting you." According to the Bible, the scripture says that he will not refuse you, but he will take you in. And God does the most amazing thing, and I encourage you to do that today. When you open up his Bible, he's going to give you truth, and that truth is going to be speaking to you about what God thinks about you and the plans that God has for your life. More than ever today, we need to get away from the, watch my fingers, the truth of this world and get to the truth of God. People today are becoming disillusioned because they don't know what's real. And that's actually good. You do not know what's real. That's why I'll stick with the Bible. Amen. I'll stick with the book of God that's thousands and thousands of years old. People have come and gone trying to disprove it. Every time they attack it, it just stands shinier, brighter, and bigger. Number two, Jesus Christ came shining lights. Shining light, illumination, understanding. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John 1, 7, the Bible says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light," you know, God dwells in the light. He is light. But the Bible says, "If we walk in the light," that is, we walk in the presence of God. You can do that today. You never have to be alone again. We have fellowship one with another. That's as brothers and sisters. And listen to the active. This is in the active tense. This is amazing. You walk with God, this is what happens. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Watch how this happens. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says he washed away our sins at the cross. All of mankind's sins were done away in Christ. You say, "Well, wait a minute. Then why do I need to accept Christ?" Because he paid for those sins at the cross, but his account, there's no transfer of funds, so to speak, into your account unless you accept him. Do you understand that? He paid for it all. But you don't get to benefit from that unless you ask him to transfer from his account his righteousness into your account. And that comes by asking him to save you, that you believe you are a sinner and that Christ died for you personally and that he wants to save you. And you acknowledge that and he transfers his righteousness over to your account. But listen, what about the person that dies rejecting Christ? The Bible says that they have opted out to not sign up. They didn't transfer anything into their account. All they have, which is the Bible says is bankruptcy. When they die, they default into hell by their choosing. So stop right now with thinking God sends people to hell. You cannot find that anywhere in the Bible. God is light. He wants you to walk in the light. And here's the great thing about what that verse means as a Christian. When you're walking with the Lord, it doesn't mean you're perfect. When you're walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with his people, and you think and you do something wrong, the light that he is whispers into your soul and says, "Well, that wasn't cool. You totally misrepresented me, Jack. That was wrong." And you go tell them you're sorry. Don't even talk to me until you settle the account with that person you just offended. That's what God says. He says, "Leave your gift at the altar and go set it straight with your friends or with the person you offended before you come to me." How many Christians today? I'm not talking. Listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, relax now for now. Just relax for a moment. How many Christians today are rude in the parking lot or trying to run over each other or getting across the, you know, I know that would never happen here. But how many Christians sin like that or think of themselves or say something, bad tone, wrong words, and never think for a moment that they need to set it right with that person they hurt, and they come breezing on in a church, arms up, singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the book of James tells us, the Christians who do that, you cannot know God and have fresh water and salt water come out of your mouth at the same time. If we walk in the light, God takes care of the rest. Jesus Christ came to shine the light of his life into us. That's why Being a Christian is not something that we do. Being a Christian is what he does in us. There's a big difference. Number three, returning means that Jesus Christ came confronting sin. That's what this morning's all about. The cross. Jesus died on the cross to confront sin. We talked about it on Good Friday when the scribes and Pharisees and the religious leaders of Israel shouted and said, Jesus, come down from the cross and save yourself, and maybe we'll believe in you if you do that. But he didn't come down. You know why he didn't come down? Because his love for you was completely committed on finishing the job. That job was what Jesus came. He said, for this reason came I into the world. And that was to confront sin. In Mark chapter 7, verse 20, the Bible says that Jesus said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man from within? Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness. Wow, sounds like the newspaper. Yes. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Is that not true? Nobody wants to hear this stuff. You go down that list and it's like, yikes, can we just move on? That's why Jesus came. Isn't it great that God didn't bury stuff under the ground or just put it under the carpet? The whole reason why the cross and the empty tomb this morning is significant is because Jesus Christ destroyed the power of sin. Sin is what tells you and I to do the wrong thing always. The Bible says that we're born with sin. People hear this for the first time, they get offended. According to the Bible, babies have the nature of sin. Now, babies don't know they're sinning, but they have the sin nature. From Adam and Eve. You've got to teach kids to tell the truth. Why? Because we inherited that nature. And listen, to go to heaven, Jesus said you must be born again. It means that God changes that nature. To those of us who know Jesus, we want to live for him. And God speaks, and God leads, and God guides. But the truth of the matter is, he's at work. Number four, Jesus Christ came, hallelujah, listen, conquering death. Conquering death. Death. But Jesus, listen, Jesus came to break the grave. It's not the point that we would live again in the flesh. That's one thing. The fact is, he conquered the grave, meaning that the grave cannot hold you dead. Amen. Jesus said, if a man dies believing in me, he shall live. He broke the grave. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he himself likewise shared in the same, that is in our humanity, that through death he might destroy him, that is Satan, who had the power of death, the devil, and release those who through fear of death, don't you need to be released from the fear of death? Yes. Were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Terrified. It's embarrassing. But this is an evangelistic moment, friends, for all of us. Let's take advantage to give the truth because people are terrified they might die. Don't talk to me. Don't get so close to me. Jesus died for me because I was S-I-N positive. Did you get that? Is it too early? S-I-N positive. But he died for me, and by him dying for me, when he rose again from the dead, listen, I didn't get a vaccine. I got antibodies. It's even better. Antibodies are stronger. They're stronger. Against what? Listen, I'm immune to hell because of Jesus. I'm immune. Listen, only my body can die. My soul cannot die. Why? Because Jesus made me immune. Number five, Jesus came defeating hell. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He robbed Satan of hell itself. Hell. The Bible says that hell was created by God for Satan and the fallen angels. God never said, I'm going to create hell and throw humans in there. It was all about Satan going to his place, and those angels, the Bible says, fell with him by pride. But Jesus came defeating hell. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, 18. Listen up, everyone. Jesus said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. That's the name of God in the Old Testament, by the way. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades. That's hell and death. Isn't that awesome? He has the keys. You ever lose your keys? Where's the keys? You're messed up without the keys. Jesus comes along and I have the keys. I promise you, Jack, that by my resurrection from the dead, you'll never have to fear the grave, hell, or death because I hold the keys. He did that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 says, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Number 6, Jesus Christ came preaching love. This is obvious. I wondered if I should include this, but maybe for some of you, you need to hear this. Jesus Christ came preaching love. In John 3, 16 and 17, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, you should put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah. And it's all about love. Did you know that God loves you? God loves you. People have a hard time in this day and age with love. Love, listen, love is not tolerance. Love is not acceptance. Love is not fill in the blank. Love is transcendent, God's love of all that. What do I mean by that? When God loves, God doesn't say, you know what? I know you're this and you're that, and that's okay. I'll look over here because I love you. I'll just look away. I won't address that because I love you. God doesn't do that. We do that. Our love's imperfect. God's love's perfect. And when God says, hey, I tell you what, I love you so much that this is what's going to happen to you. You open up your life to me, and I'm going to start infusing my life into you. And you're going to be changing. Now, in a moment, when you accept me, you'll change instantly. That is, your account in heaven is recorded as righteous by my works. And I'm going to give that to you, Jack, as a gift. But from the moment you accept me to the moment you die, I'm going to be infusing into you by my Holy Spirit my personality, my person. That's why the word Christian means little Christ. It means to mimic him, to follow him. And as we do that, he's infusing himself into us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us so much, he refuses to let us remain the person we are. Aren't you glad?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his special resurrection message called Returning. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that this Easter you'll find hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the first, he's the last, who was dead and came to life so that we too can live forever in heaven with him. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as war and conflict intensify across the globe, where can we as people find hope in the future?
Jesus said there'd be days just like this that would preempt the final days of his physical return. That's the second coming of Christ.
Never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with biblical prophecy. And there's no one better to share that with us, the reality of the Bible and its link to current events, than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's got a new book called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. Now, in this book, you're going to discover how things are falling into place, just as the Bible predicted thousands of years ago.
What do we want to do? We want to look to the Bible and find out how it ends, right? Don't you want to know?
You can learn about what's coming up next in the prophetic calendar, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays, prophetically, in all this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.